Howdy, folks. Welcome back to Diana Prince Secret Agent. This is episode number 8, and I'm not a secret agent. My name's Ed. I'm just a host.
My name's Terry. I'm the other host.
But both of us hostesses are talking about the Wonder Woman mod era in this show, Diana Prince Secret Agent. We have been for 7 episodes.
Uh-huh.
We're looking at issue 185 of volume 1 of Wonder Woman. Cover dated November-December 1969. On sale September 2nd, 1969. All of those dates are courtesy of Mike's Amazing World of Comics. If you want to get in touch, you can find us on Facebook, Blue Sky, and Twitter as Teal Productions. Terry is on Twitter as Tooth Gnasher. IamIndieMan@gmail.com is the email address. Indie is INDIE. The website is comicbooknoise.com/TNC. Tango November Charlie stands for the Newsprint Commando, in case you're curious. All right, let's see. On the cover, we're looking at an offering from Mr. Mike Sikowski, Dick Giordano, and Gaspar Saladino, which it wasn't a difficult cover because 85% of the cover is shadow. Mm-hmm. At the top of the shadow blob, you start to see some details of peoples, whereas past the shoulders, it all blends into just one big black blob. In that is Diana, along with a brand new character, Kathy Perkins, and Kathy is saying, "It's," and then the narrator has, "them." And it's not the giant ants, them, from the early 60s movie, I think, them. 1960s, I think, for that, and that's a reference probably Billy might get, whereas the most of you probably don't get that. That is one of my all-time favorite radioactive caused a problem monster movies from the 60s.
Then, big old ants,
giant ants, yes, and that's all that was in it. Giant ants, that was, yeah. Okay, let's see what else here. If you want to find this reprinted, you can find it in Diana Prince Wonder Woman issue number 2 from 2008, DC Comics, or Wonder Woman Diana Prince Celebrating the 60s Omnibus from DC Comics circa 2018.
That's what we have.
Yes. Well, we have both the original, which Power Princess over here gets to read from because I can't be trusted. I'll probably, with my big sausages, tear it up, which is fine.
And it's my book.
Which is fine. I'll be handling the book here in a little bit when we get to the end of the episode because I will be talking about a contest that we will be having. But you have to listen to the whole show to get that. Creatives Inside. Anything else you want to say about the cover?
No.
Okay. Inside, this is Mike Sikowski, script and pencils, Dick Giordano, inks, and John Costanza, letters. Now, our synopsis, courtesy of the DCFandom.com wiki, tells us, Diana finds that the girl Kathy Perkins is hiding out from a trio of women whose leader, Top Hat, seeks to bring her back as a collared slave. Now, the immediate setup to that couple lines was the very ending of the previous issue. Diana came back from Paradise Island minus Ching. I'm kind of curious how that's going to be going. Opened up her bodega, or no, what does she call it? A boutique. And ran into Kathy Perkins, who exclaimed, "I thought you were them," right at the end. And so you're left with two big questions. Who the heck is the little girl and who is them? Okay, so now leading right into this issue, we are finding out here. We're told in the synopsis that one of them must be Top Hat. Mm-hmm. That's the leader. Diana beats all three of them up and throws them out. Later, Diana learns that Kathy is a runaway who fell into Top Hat's hands and was reduced to servitude by her before she pulled off an escape. Top Hat attempts to terrorize Kathy and Diana, even firebombing Di's boutique. That sucked. Eventually, Diana and her newfound ally, your favorite, Tony Petrucci, whose sister Angela was victimized by the villains, have a showdown with Top Hat and her gang, defeat her, and have her jailed for a jewel robbery, which it actually makes sense the way it's written. So there it tells you who Tony Petrucci is. He is Angela's brother.
Okay.
And who is Angela? Well, it's the good. Yeah. So it still doesn't answer.
No.
Yeah. Diana reunites Kathy with her parents and floats to them the idea of making Kathy her employee at the boutique, which is accepted. At that point, Ching walks back in. So we only get like an issue break from him. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not. Yeah. So let's take a look at anything that stands out about the
issue. On the very first page inside, I noticed that there's a Geno's. I wonder if it's Geno's Pizza.
We can go with that. Right.
Goodness, Geno's Pizza's been along for who?
A long time.
Very long time.
Okay. Let's say that Gino was the chef's name and he had a pizzeria and so he called it Gino's Pizza. And instead of the all commercialized Gino's Pizza that I think. And I want to know exactly, I mean, we see her walking down the street and then the next panel is her unlocking the boutique. Mm-hmm. We don't see exactly where the boutique is, except within shouting distance, at least, of Gino's. Mm-hmm. That would be rough. She lives above the boutique, works below it, and she's got Gino's very near next door.
Mm-hmm. Well, that she knows what she can have for dinner.
Oh, man. That's,
every day.
That's rough. The third page is a full-page spread. I do like it just because of the amount of color.
I don't think that this is three women. These is that supposed to be a woman?
I guess
so. The synopsis said three women, but that does not look like a woman to
me. It could be a rather masculine woman.
Okay.
It's very possible. Okay. Well, somebody is going to have to be muscle. And even though they're female, the biggest person would be the muscle.
And they look like circus performers.
They look very circus carnivaled up because of the choice of colors. Now,
I guess.
Keep in mind, you know, at this time we only had 8 colors, 16 colors, something like that. We didn't have a million colors like we do now. So they only had, it's like, I want to make them, but that color didn't exist.
Yeah.
This pink top hat and the cloak.
This is atrocious. Orange pants, yellow shirt, green vest, red boa.
And green cowboy.
And a green cowboy.
Green cowboy hat.
No, it's not even a cowboy hat. It's kind of.
No, it's a cowboy hat.
All right. Yeah. Fine.
Now see, the green and yellow is common because the leader has green pants and top, yellow ascot and whatever the.
Ruffles on the.
Wrist. And a pink top hat and cape. Now, the third person here that you may or may not be female, who knows, they're a little bit more moderately colored in there.
Which makes me think it's a man.
Women can wear moderately colored clothes, okay. Too. Whatever. Thank you.
Whatever.
Okay. So, the other big thing that happens here, which the synopsis told us, top hat immediately when she finds that Gloria Steinem or whatever her name is here. Kathy Perkins. That was a slight for Gloria Steinem. Anyways, she does throw out a leash and collar.
And
at
I
her.
Love the look on Diana's face. She's like, no.
Yeah, she's
and
like.
And she throws it back at him.
She's like, what? Yeah, you could almost see that. We don't see it too much starting out the story. But now that we're getting into the story, I still really like the way that these artists are using shadows to go for and background and show you what to focus on. And maybe it's happening, but it's not necessarily a focus of the story and things like that. I like their use of shadows. We see Kathy here almost gives in to put on the collar up here. She just wants it over. Yeah. She's like, I tried to get away. I can't get away. Okay, here. But Diana's
like, well, she doesn't think
no.
Diana, who is just a wisp of a woman, can really stop three rather larger.
Especially when you got dude over here.
I know who is. Everybody says is a woman, but my goodness.
Bulkied out here.
I wonder if that's Moose Mama or Pinto.
Well, I would say the cowboy hat has to be Pinto. A cowboy hat. And big moose. And so that would be Moose Mama.
Okay.
So, yeah. I had forgotten the names. But, yeah, so in the first appearance, it's Moose Mama, Top Hat, and Pinto. Uh-huh. Now, if those are not like Spider-Man bad guy names, I don't know what is. Those are like.
Yeah. But Diane manages to thwart them all and throw them out of her abode.
Literally, she throws them out.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they say, you haven't seen The Last of Us. Isn't that what all the bad people say?
Yeah. What you just got your ass kicked. What are you going to say? Oh, yeah. Yeah. So anyways, Diana and Kathy go upstairs. Kathy takes a cute little bubble bath. She's all cute, showing that she's very young. Diana, being all motherly or patronly or whatever you want to call it, washes her hair for her, gets her some clothes, a big fluffy robe that probably fits Diana, but makes this girl look like she's a little sprite. In the midst of all this kind of friendly frivolity, the Top Hat Club wraps a note in a rock and throws it through her window saying, I'll get you, my pretty.
Yes.
And you're a little Kathy, too.
Yes.
As essentially is what she tells him. Yeah. That was my, what is that? My best.
Wicked witch.
Witch voice. Yeah. I don't do witches very often. Mm-hmm. As soon as I saw this dude here, the next dude, I knew he was part of it. He's just drawn. Because of the way
because he's drawn like a circus character.
Because
like
the way
the
he's
others.
Drawn, yeah, I'm like, oh,
just
he's,
like the others.
This is part of the crew.
You skipped
also.
Something though. Oh, okay. They went to sleep. Go ahead. Got up the next morning. And he says, "Okay, I'm up." And she takes her downstairs to outfit her in the boutique because she has clothes down there.
Of course.
And then there's no food because, of course, Diana's been gone. She went to Paradise Island to save her mother. So there's nothing in the refrigerator. So they go to the market. And when they're coming back from the market, this is when the fourth member, apparently, of the Top Hat crew bumps into them and starts giving them a hard time, breaking all the eggs and doing all that kind of crap.
Crushing the melons.
Yes.
There has to be some sexual innuendo in that, but I'm not picking up what it is. Yeah.
So then this dark-haired gentleman just walks up behind Diana and Kathy, and the dude that was harassing them looks and says, I'm sorry, here's your stuff, and goes away.
And it looks like Diana is kind of wigged out by the dude, too.
And she probably is, because she's been having people come up after her.
He walked up behind, he walked up close enough to look past Diana and scare the dude off, and then Diana sees him, and I'm like, yeah, I bet she'd be like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. So she thanks him because
who is this?
This I can't remember his name.
This is Tony Petrucci.
And
this is him.
And that means nothing other than it's Tony Petrucci.
Why does it have to be somebody?
I don't know, but
why
he's tall, dark, and handsome, and he helps them.
Tony Petrucci.
And then he wanders away, and she's like, I wonder why they're scared of him.
She has no superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
She needs a knight in shining armor, and his name is Tony Petrucci.
I know, but she's like, why are they scared of him? And Kathy's like, I've seen him before. He lives in the neighborhood. And they're terrified of him for some reason. See, she doesn't even know why they're terrified of him. Why is everybody terrified of Tony Petrucci?
Dude is looking out for his peeps and always runs off the Top Hat gang whenever he sees them.
So later back in the boutique, apparently, without Diana knowing how in the world...
How does that happen?
Maybe it's other members of the Top Hat crew. They come in and they ruin the clothing.
Right,
and they're telling other customers, you know, we told you that this was trash. You know, you shouldn't even come in here. So they are ruining her boutique. And Top Hat comes back and says, Diana runs out in the street to find Top Hat to say, why did you ruin my dresses and my clothing? You owe me. You have to pay for this stuff. She's like, well, you can't prove it's me. It's, you know.
Well, she's right. I don't imagine Diana has cameras in the boutique.
Right. And she's like, well, okay. So Diana turns around to go back in, and Tony is behind her yet again, which is why the Top Hat crew just let it drop with Diana and walked away.
Because of Tony.
And she's like, "What? Who are you? What are you doing always in my space?" And he's like, "I'm on my way home. I just live right down the street." Maybe he lives at Gino's. And she's like, "Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Go ahead."
Gino Petrucci? Tony and Gino Petrucci?
Yeah, who knows? So finally, Kathy and Diana are talking again, and that's when she finds out, you know, that Kathy's afraid to go back to her parents, and she finds a letter while she's trying to clean her clothes that Kathy has written saying, you know, I want to come back, but I feel bad.
That is a very fetching panel of Diana.
Yes, it is.
I like that art. That is, she actually looks pretty in that panel, I think.
I think she looks pretty in this one.
Over here? Okay. Mm-hmm. They're very similar.
Yes, they are.
Mr. Sikowski is starting to do a really good idea, a good job, I think, of rendering Diana's face when it gets close enough. Now, farther off, it still looks a little more on the plainer kind of female side. But when he does close up or like headshots, I'm really liking the way that he's drawing Diana.
So my next question is, can anybody call the missing persons bureau and ask if there's somebody on record as missing?
1969 New
York. Apparently you could in 1969 because she called and she gave them her address rather rapidly because she could hear some commotion going on to give to Kathy's parents.
Right. If there's a Kathy Perkins missing.
Here's my address. She's with me.
Yeah. Tell her parents that I know where she is.
Because she had to leave because Molotov cocktails are coming in through her windows, burning her boutique down.
And we get her address here. Mm-hmm. Her boutique. I guess her residence is at 301. So I guess maybe the boutique is at 201. Since it's right below.
I don't know. I think it would be 301 and 301A.
But it's, because she lives above it.
I know, so, but apartment.
Oh, I would think everything was numbered.
I would think it would be on one
level
building.
And one, okay. But either way, Blocker Street. Now, of course, when we get done recording, I'm going to Google Map and see what Blocker Street, New York looks like.
If there is even one.
Yeah. So
she wakes Kathy up to save her from the fire, and the firefighters come, and so does the bad people. They all come, but does Tony come. I mean, they're all there in the streets.
And Tony, you'll notice, is not wearing his green jacket. It's just his black turtleneckish kind of thing. So he cashed down a little bit to run out into the street to check on the burning building.
But apparently he lives close enough. He saw the building burning.
He was right there.
And he ran out there. And, of course, the Top Hat crew ran away. And he gathered up the girls and took him to his mother.
Ma Petrucci.
He says, here, Ma.
Yeah.
Here's some strays for you.
Sounds like a Punisher villain, Ma Petrucci.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think it was Ma Nucci or Nochi or something like that was a big bad for Punisher. But it sounds the same. All those names sound the same to me. I'm horribly... Yeah, never mind. I won't go.
So Diana woke up from her sleep because they were supposed to all go to bed. At Ma Petrucci's, and finds the note from Kathy saying, I've gone back to them, so they'll leave you alone.
Right, because of me, they torched your boutique. So, yeah.
And she's getting dressed and she's leaving, and Ma's going, no, don't leave. And so Ma has to call her son on the phone and say, hey, get some of the boys. Some of the boys.
Mm-hmm.
It's Italian in New York.
That's it.
We're getting some of the boys, and we're going to come down and take care of this.
That's right.
Son.
You know how this is going to go.
Mm-hmm. So she finally finds Kathy once again in the collar, being led around by the Top Hat crew.
I guess being led around to show that you can't get away. Right. This is my pet, and I caught her. And this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 colored individuals. But perhaps another 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 in the background. So that's
a pretty big crew.
That's a pretty big crew that Top Hat's in charge of, yeah.
And there are some boys because Top Hat goes, boys?
Well,
boys.
Most of this group that she's walking with, except for Mamucci or Moose Mama, are male.
Are Tony's boys.
No, this panel. Yeah. Yeah, all those.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 men.
And Moose Mama.
And Moose Mama. And
yeah, the others
Pinto.
In the back. Yeah. The others in
but
the back.
But then these guys back here are Tony's boys in the next scenes.
With the
short haircuts
the
and the dark.
Swastika, or not dark, swastika. What is that? Iron Cross. The dude has the Iron Cross pendant.
But they all have kept hair. Where all of
one of Top Hat's people. Okay.
The Top Hat people all have long hair.
The boys are
all short hair,
clean cut
looking boys.
Okay.
And Tony comes out and says, just what's going on, Top Hat? Some friends of myself would just about had it with you creeps. And then Diana says, nope, she's mine. Smack. I like that. Smack. So they have a little fight.
Yep. Diana and Top Hat with her secret penguin umbrella with all the weapons in it.
But Diana doesn't care because she's already ready for that.
Yep.
But when Top Hat fell down to the ground, that's when the top of her hat came over and all the jewels came out, and the cop was standing there watching what was going on, not stopping it, just watching it, and goes, oh, well, I think those are the jewels that we got from...
They had just gotten there.
Oh, okay.
So they all of that hubbub caused somebody to call, I think when the police, just as the police got there, they saw Diana throw her and expose the false top to the top hat. And
so the police take them away, and they tell Diana as they're leaving that there was a reward for the recovery of the jewels, and that will go to her.
Who is this? Smithson? Mr. and Mrs. Smithson, and there was a reward offered for the wife's jewels, so Mrs. Smithson.
And Diana's like, because I got to rebuild my boutique, because they just burned it to the ground, and I have no insurance.
I can't imagine she had enough money for that.
Yeah, she said she didn't have insurance. That's what she said.
Interesting.
What?
The synopsis said Ching. How do you know it's Ching? Unless you go to the next issue and see.
Oh, I don't know.
You don't. No. It doesn't tell us that it's Ching.
It just doesn't.
Somebody surprises her, walks up to her, and we don't know who it is. Who is you? If you don't know about the next new Wonder Woman, you'll never find out who you is. So,
I want to ask you how you knew that Angela was taken by the Top Hat Gang. Because nowhere in here did I ever see that it said that.
I don't know. I guess the person who wrote the synopsis assumed.
Okay. Because nowhere does it say. It's just that she wasn't there. She was away. And nowhere does it say that they saved her too doing all of this.
Well, I see the cover for the next issue has some more little girls in it. So maybe part of Top Hat's story continues. And the person that wrote this wrote it with continued knowledge and is able to backfill some of the places.
So we end the story with, as the synopsis said, the parents come to get Kathy, and Diana convinces them that Kathy needs to be her employee. And someone comes to Diana's door, and she's like, "You!"
Okay, I don't know that I want my young daughter clerking at a boutique that just got firebombed. That's a little bit too much action for me.
Yeah, but she saved him from the people that firebombed it.
But the boutique just got firebombed. Okay. And you want her to work for you?
Okay.
What? And this is related somehow. Does this tell us something about Angela?
No, because it says that Diane's going to meet Kathy's roommates, Abby and Millie.
Okay.
Who have a problem that they bring to Diana. We're going to meet Morgana.
Who is this Victorianly dressed woman with a frog at her feet.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll find out who the frog was.
Mm-hmm.
And the title of the story is Witch, which, looking at Morgana, you can kind of see.
And Morgana is a witch's name in
Arthurian legend. Morgana.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So some of the empty spaces, I don't know how it got filled there. All right, let's look at
the ads.
Some ads here. Go ahead.
Our very first ad. Young men, as coach of Notre Dame, I know a winner when I see one, and this is it. The Ford National Football League punt, pass, and kick competition.
And that's
on
the
free and easy to enter.
Inside front cover?
Yes, it is.
So that's like
Ford.
Right up front?
I'm telling you.
So, okay. A couple things come to mind. At this time, did girls do punt, pass, and kick?
No.
Okay. Then this is assuming that boys are reading Wonder Woman. Did that occur?
Here's how it works. Boys 8 through 13 compete with others their own age. Doesn't say anything about girls. It says this is how it works. Boys.
But I'm asking. I didn't think that until recently, really, that girls actively participated in punt, pass, and kick competitions.
They don't.
Then, since this has to be aimed at boys, do boys read in the early 60s Wonder Woman? I was not even 2 years old. I wasn't reading much of anything in 1969.
But Wonder Woman's been around since 1969. Did you ever read Wonder Woman growing up?
No.
Is it because you only read what your dad bought and he didn't buy Wonder Woman?
Pretty much.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Would you have bought Wonder Woman if you had money to buy your own comics?
It just depends. I don't know that because it was Wonder Woman would not have been reason for me to not get it. That's not a thought that entered my brain at the time. I do know a lot of graybeards now that say that they have read Wonder Woman forever. And of course, the initial creator of Wonder Woman was a dude. He had some interesting proclivities. Mm-hmm. There are males all over the place involved with Wonder Woman, of course, the artists and all that stuff. So it struck me that I really don't know that this was a big juvenile male book to have a punt, pass, and kick ad in it, which I think is distinctly
Ford probably
juvenile
put it
male.
In every comic book that was going out.
Maybe they bought an ad and said,
"Put it in
we need this
books.
In X number of books," and DC's like,
We'll put it in all of them.
Yeah, we'll put, okay. Okay.
So our next ad is a third page Revell ad for the latest model of the month. It's the Yamaha Grand Prix 350. It's a Japanese engineering at its most ingenious. It's pretty cool. Control cables, fuel and oil lines, steerable front wheel, and detailed hollow tires. Your finished model is 1/8 as big as the real bike. And it's under $4.
So it's a 1 in 8 size model.
Mm-hmm. Then we have calling all members, the Mighty iPatrol, where they're always talking about the iVersion's bikes that there are out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other half of the page is Sesame Street on National Education Television, Children's Television Workshop.
Which is funny because there are no Muppets in this ad.
No.
The word Sesame Street is here, and it's Batman and Superman who are advertising it, and you also have the Children's Television Workshop.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no Big Bird, Snuffleupagus, Oscar, Cookie Monster.
None of them. Our next half-page ad is Rommel's Rod, the Desert Fox's Crazy Command Car by Monogram. It's a 1 in 24 scale for $2 from Monogram Quality Hobby Kits.
It's an attempt at a German command car, but the Desert Fox in the back, if it comes with the car, is a skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's a skeleton chauffeur driving it. It's kind of hard to tell what exactly that is. So I don't know if they just filled that out.
It says 2 sunbleached skeletons.
Okay.
Rear compartment has plush chair, map table, radio gear, and ammo cases.
Yeah. So it is intended to be a command, a Nazi command car. Well,
that's,
I guess
they're
German.
Dead because we got them.
Well, in 1969, yes. Mm-hmm. That's pretty accurate.
Then we have the editor's page talking about editor's ton of stuff.
Yeah. It looks like it's got a...
Shirley Gorman.
Yeah. It's got
Larry
letters.
Stout, Jeff Qualls.
There's another page of letters later on in the book.
Mm-hmm. And then we have a full page of Aquaman and Batman, their latest books coming out on sale September 4th. The traps are sprung. And then the other half of that page is Binky's Buddies, Scooter, and Debbie on sale in September also.
So we have Aquaman 48. We have Batman 216. The covers, and then we have Binky's Buddies 6, Scooter 23, looks like, and Debbie issue 6 or 8. Now, interestingly enough, the Aquaman and Batman covers were in full color.
Mm-hmm.
The Binky, Scooter, and Debbie's were in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
So
they're not as important.
Everything, I guess. Yeah. Everything is on sale in September, according to that ad.
Now, the center splash of the whole book
is
2 pages of ads. We have Super Saturday on ABC. A great new Saturday morning starts September 6th on ABC television. And it tells you Casper's on at 8, Smokey Bear 8:30. The Chattanooga Cats are on at 9. Oh, I'm sorry. Both pages are about this. Hot Wheels is on at 10. The Hardy Boys are on at 10:30. Skyhawks at 11. The Adventures of Gulliver, 11:30. And Fantastic Voyage at noon. And you can turn the page and find out how to join ABC's exciting new Super Saturday Club. Another full page.
Full page, yeah.
ABC bought 3 pages in this book.
Yep.
And this tells you to join the fun when meetings are called to order Saturday mornings on ABC TV. Your charter membership kit includes its whole list of stuff.
How much is membership?
And it's 50 cents for the membership.
You fill out the coupon and send in 50 cents.
Send in 50 cents. I wonder how many 50 cents they got.
Become a member of ABC's Super Saturday Club.
And then we finally get back to story again. Good grief. 3 pages.
3 full page. Whew. Yeah.
Whew, I wonder how much they had to pay for that.
I don't know.
And then we don't have another ad until the very end of the book.
And that's why, because all the space was taken up by ABC.
I wonder if they have a percentage. I work in the newspaper business. Well, we have to have a percentage of editorial to ads. I wonder if they have to have a percentage of comic copy to ads in a comic.
Well, I think what it was that... They know how many story pages they have, and I believe the book is limited to a certain number of pages by either the printing cost or the...
Could be the printing press.
Mailing cost or something like that. So you'll notice that as story pages fluctuate by 1 or 2, ads will in the opposite direction. So, but never is it like 10 extra pages in a book ever. At this time.
And then we have a third page Matchbox Superfast ad. The most authentic model car has gone super fast. Then we have the Wonderful World of Comics Test Your Golden Age IQ page. We're going to get back to that in just a moment.
Yes.
I'm going to move on. After we meet Morgana, our last two pages inside are the Boys Men Build Develop Mighty Muscles for $1.98.
Muscle Builder, yes.
And then the Top Hit Record, 75 cents and up. That's in there just about every time.
Yep.
And then the back page is another full-color flashback Aurora, the high-speed nonstop racing set with cars that glow in the dark ad.
That's the outside back cover.
Yes. Isn't that not what I said?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. So Ed, what did you want to do with the Wonderful World of Comics Test Your Golden Age IQ?
Okay. We have our first contest for podcast listeners. Now, I will read to you 20 questions. Whoever has the most correct answers will be chosen as the winner by the two hosts of the show, Terry and I. If there's a tie, we'll use a random number generator to break that tie to where there's just one winner. Answers will be accepted via whatever method of the contact methods that we say at the beginning of the show you want to use, and answers will be accepted until episode 10 of the podcast is dropped. That is approximately 2 months from when this one drops. And the prize will be a couple Wonder Woman comics of our choosing. Probably going to be older comics because it's going to be duplicates that we have. We usually don't make the mistake of duplicates with newer books. We do it with older books that we don't track as quickly as we probably should. Now they won't be like, you know, Wonder Woman 50
no.
or anything super cool like that because we definitely don't make mistakes like that. But who knows? They probably will be a couple quasi-oldish issues, probably from the first volume.
The latter part of the first volume.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's the, let's
or
say.
Or the early part of the second volume, one or the other.
Yeah, the latter 150 issues of the first volume or the first 20 or 30 issues of the beginning of the second volume, which would be cool because somewhere in there is some George Perez and some Jose Luis Garcia Lopez stuff. So, all right. Now, be sure to write these. You don't have to write them down because I'm going to record them and you can listen to it whenever you want to.
And we can alternate giving
the
clues. Giving the clues.
All right. And we have answers. We're not going to tell you where the answers are. If you want to do a little bit of research, you can probably find the answers all together.
But don't cheat.
But we already have the answers before we're asking these, so we know the answers as we ask. Hop Harrigan, America's Ace of the Airways, starred in comics, on radio, and in a movie serial. What was the name of his rotund, red-haired mechanic? Now, I apologize for the verbiage. It's not mine, but just overlook it. The red-haired mechanic that Hop Harrigan had. What was his name?
Number two, DC had two super speedsters in the old days, The Flash and Johnny Quick. What power did Johnny have that The Flash did not?
Question three. Brooklyn, Alfie, Jan, and Andre were four teenagers who battled the Axis during World War II. By what name was the group known, A, and B, who commanded them?
Number four. No less than 17 heroes were active in the Justice Society of America at one time or another. We told you their names not long ago. Can you recall at least 10 of them? We didn't tell you their names not long ago. But can you recall at least 10 of the 17 heroes active in the Justice Society of America?
Now, this was up to the beginning of 1969, because mm-hmm. that's when this book came out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, question five. Who spoke this oath? And I shall shed my light over dark evil, for the dark things cannot stand the light. The light of, and I guess that last part would give it away. So they cut that out.
Number six, in its two appearances, the Injustice Society had 11 different members. Can you name five of them?
Okay. Question number seven. Which of the Injustice Society members double-crossed the others and why?
Number eight. What youthful assistants aided these heroes? The Sandman, the Shining Knight, the Vigilante, the Guardian, and Johnny Thunder.
Now, looking at that, I would assume probably what you would get away with is naming their sidekicks.
Yes.
So, all right, question number 9. And yes, there's a lot of questions and there's even more. So whoever does this will earn a couple books.
At least.
Which teenage hero had a grown assistant? What was the sidekick's name?
Number 10. At one time, most heroes had humorous helpers for comedy relief. Who were the funny friends for Flash, Wonder Woman, Mr. America, Green Lantern, and the Spectre? We want at least 2 answers.
Okay. Correct answers. Question 11. Which heroes had these animal aides? A flying horse named Winged Victory, an owl named Hootie, a parrot called Static, an octopus named Topo, a hawk called Big Red.
Number 12. What 2 heroes used atomic energy in the early 1940s before the first atomic bomb was exploded?
Question 13. What hero battled the Thinker, the Mist, the Dummy, the Huntress, and the Cavalier? And each of those is a different hero.
So we want at least 2. 2 out of that list.
Correct. Yes. 2 correct answers.
Number 14. What were the other identities of these heroes? And we want at least 2 answers out of this list.
Yeah. Any that has, we'll just say any that has multiple parts.
At least 2.
At least 2 correct. Yeah.
The other identities of these heroes. Tex Thomason, Terry Sloan, Libby Lawrence, Al Pratt, and Wesley Dodds.
Question 15. What hero's strip was replaced by one starring his sister?
Question 16. What villain got his name from the day he was spawned in the depths of a swamp?
Question 17. Which hero, blind by day, could see in the dark?
Question 18. What hero inspired Wildcat to adopt a secret crime-fighting identity?
Question 19. Who wore the motto "Fair Play" on his costume?
And the last question, what 2 heroes, originally clad in business suits and masks, later switched to colorful skin-tight costumes like most other heroes wore?
These questions are full of Justice Society of America references. It is funny, and that's why I laughed, because as I'm going through these questions, I'm seeing if I know them just like that. And a couple of them just amused me that it's like, well, yeah, I do happen to know that, even though I'm not a big DC fan. So that's, but yeah, maybe even all of those questions have, and I can understand because, of course, Wonder Woman is a member of the Justice Society initially. Mm-hmm. And so that's why, but awesome, awesome questions. If you're a Justice Society fan, this has just got those heroes and individuals all wrapped up all in it. Alrighty, I think that is all for this episode. Next time we have lined up to talk about, well, we might try to talk about the Brave and the Bold issue 87. And if we're able to pull that off, we will have a special guest host with us for that episode. If not, it'll be Wonder Woman 186. We'll continue with the Wonder Woman. But we're going to try to get someone with us to talk about the Brave and the Bob. Oh, excuse me. The Brave and the Bold for next episode. So with that, we will talk to you guys then.
Bye.